The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 22nd day of December 2021, Wednesday. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And we have a whole lot to talk about tonight. We have a tremendous amount. Before we even get started, I got to say this. We have a prayer request, a very important one. Now, you folks know little Lisa, who's always there at the studio. But she hasn't been there recently because she went to visit and stay with a friend in New Mexico. And what has happened is she's there now, and she is asking us to pray because her friend Karen and his son had come home who was in the Army and was forced to get the poisonous poke in the Army and now has come home and become very, very ill. And now Karen, his mother, is ill. And there's Lisa, and she's never been in really good health trying to take care of these two people there. And this was supposed to be her vacation. And she is really concerned, she says, because AJ is very ill. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, Lisa is calling upon us to pray. So the folks out there listening to us all over, boy, does she need you now. She needs you folks out there to join with me right now. Yes, and agree with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we want to hold up Lisa, AJ, and Karen right now and ask, Lord, that you would intercede right now, Father God, that you might touch them with a healing. Father, we thank you for those that you have touched and healed. We heard from GB Lightning, and he said he's doing much better thanks to the prayers. So, Lord, we would ask that you would do the same for Lisa, Karen, and AJ. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we have on the board Mighty Andrew.
Good evening, Pastor, and everyone calling in tonight.
Now, tonight we have John Holman, possibly John McTernan. He is on the road, but he may call in. And we have a special guest, Dr. John. And for special reasons, we cannot give his last name. It's not because he don't have one. He does, but there are reasons why we can't give it out there. And as you know, many, many doctors right now, real frontline doctors, have been coming under attack. But are you there, John Holman?
I am, Pastor Ernie.
Are you there, Dr. John?
Yes, I am, Pastor Ernie.
Good to have you here. Now, do you know that we may have a three John night? Now, you've heard of a three dog night, right?
Yes.
Do you know where that saying comes from, a three-dog night? That's for the dog sleds, their teams up there in Alaska in the cold parts, where if it was very, very cold, it would take at least three dogs that you would have to bundle up with to survive, to keep warm enough to survive. That's where they would say it's going to be a three-dog night. But with three Johns, it's not going to be... not to keep us warm, but the three John night is to keep us warning. And that's what we're here for tonight. So are you ready to go?
We're ready to educate tonight, Pastor Ernie.
All right. Dr. John, as you know, we always start off with Scripture. And we're going to pick it up where we left off in Luke chapter 2. And John Holman, I know you like to read, and so I'm going to let you go ahead and read all the way through verses 20.
Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 1.
Start at verse 1, and then stop at verse, read it through verse 7, and then pause, and we'll do a little commentary, okay?
All right.
Okay. Go ahead.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in a swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
So here it is. Do you think that just happened, or do you think that was going to be? In other words, Micah 5:2 says that, and that was some 400 years ahead of, prior to that, that the Messiah was going to be born in the city of bread, Bethlehem, huh?
Yeah, amen.
So now David's royal lineage, we see this. You know, Matthew and Luke takes it back to, or Matthew takes you all the way back to David, but Luke takes their lineage. Both Mary and Joseph were, their lineage went, they were of the royal line there. And so now here you see that the boy was wrapped, this babe was wrapped in swaddling clothes. What do you think that was for?
What do you mean what it was for?
Dr. John, you would know what swaddling clothes were for, too. That the swaddling clothes...
That would keep him warm and also compress his... where the umbilical cord was cut.
Yeah. It was common knowledge in those days. They would also do it for their limbs, for to keep their legs, because a lot of kids were born with legs that weren't straight, and I can't remember the name for that, where they were like bow legged, but there was a name for that when their bones were not. So they would wrap those, but also to protect their internal organs. These swaddling clothes were made. So, anyhow, so now...
There's one other point we could make,
sure.
Ernie. It's apparent that the lineage or the genetics is very important to the Lord, and there's some concern that this new messenger RNA with an enzyme called reverse transcriptase could actually change the DNA of humans. I know that enzyme exists and it's possible, but I'm not an expert. And tonight I just want to comment on what I know about, which is the clinical medical part. But I think when you change genetics, it's very important to the Lord, and the Lord Jesus could only come through that lineage, which obviously Satan tried to block. And the last time we read in the Bible about genetics being interfered with is before before Noah built the ark.
Right. And so here now, we're going to have, between the three of us, you're the only expert here where it comes to that, and what we're going to do tonight, I'm going to play three very short clips and have you, after each clip, have you comment on it. And so we'll get to that after the scripture, but just feel free to jump in and comment on anything that we go through the scripture tonight. Now here he says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. I think I mentioned this last night when I was in Israel. I was there where most of the historians believe this took place, where in that area right there where the shepherds were. But and the angel of the Lord came upon them. And, well, let me go back before I should do that. Let me go back to verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son. What is the significance in the firstborn son?
Well, the firstborn get the, what's the word? The blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Something else, Pastor. I can't remember the word for it.
Well, yeah, he gets the blessing, but let me say there's something more significant now, because there are those that teach that Mary was the eternal virgin, that she had no other children other than Jesus. But here we know that Jesus had at least four brothers, and he had four brothers and at least two sisters. There are others that teach that Jesus was the youngest and not the oldest of the children. And they're teaching, there's a false teaching out there that Joseph had been married prior and widowed, and therefore Mary was the second wife. Of course, there's absolutely no biblical proof of that at all. But, you know, you have a lot of false doctrines out there. But the fact that it says of her firstborn, meaning that there were others besides him. So there you know that she was not the eternal virgin, correct?
Well, no. Yes, no, she's not.
Okay, so now I was at that place where, again, the historians think, most of them, that this took place with the shepherds. But now there's something very, very special about what takes place here. Okay, you have what we call Christophany taking place. So go ahead and pick it up in verse 8 and read it through. And
there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Stop right there, okay? Let's take a look at this here. Okay, so what do we have taking place here? And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. Okay, now, who is the angel of the Lord? That's called a Christophany. That's the Lord Jesus himself. So what you have here is you have 139 Psalms that talks about his omnipresence, about God's omnipresence, that he's present no matter where you go, heaven above, hell below, God is there. He's present. The Do you know what the word pavilion means in the biblical terms that was used? And the pavilion was the war room. The pavilion was the war room. And the devil would meet in the pavilion with his, with all of his generals, if you will. You know, the top angels. But anyhow, but when they would meet to strategize their battle plans, they always had somebody sitting in that wasn't invited. Now, who do you think that was?
Well, the Lord didn't miss a beat on anything.
Right, he was right there. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's very difficult to try to defeat your enemy when he's sitting in during your battle plans, right?
Yeah, that makes it really tough.
Yeah, so, but here, so now what you have here, you have the Lord Jesus Christ himself announcing his own birth. But how do we know that? How do we know that it's the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay, because it says the angel of the Lord, that's one hint. But what's the other proof that we have? And Dr. John, just jump right in. Don't be afraid to jump in. Let me give you a hint. It says here, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. Now, that Shekinah glory is only present when who is present?
The Lord.
Yeah. So the Shekinah glory is only present when the Lord is present. So we see the presence of the Lord, okay? But let's say we didn't have that, okay? Let's see what else we would give us a good hint. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on peace on earth toward all men. So the angels would only appear to worship who?
The Lord.
Okay. So let's pick it up there in verse 15.
And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them.
Okay, we're going to stop right there for tonight, because tomorrow night we're going to do our Christmas story, and we're going to pick up on a bunch of this. But we have a clip. So we're going to play, first we're going to play a song, and then we're going to play a short clip. So, we're going to go to this break, and then as we play these clips, Dr. John, we'll have you go ahead and comment on it. But I know that we have a very serious reasons why we don't want to give your last name out, but just could you give us just a little of your background so the people will have an idea of your experience?
Well, I've been an internist for almost 40 years. I started out, like most doctors did 30, 40 years ago. I took a loan and developed my own practice. And after a few years, I had, perhaps 2,000 patients, and there was no way that all 2,000 could fire me at once. So I was independent. Now, medicine has changed so much. I've seen over the decades, doctors are employees, and seems like they don't think independently. They don't use logic. They have protocols. And, you know, we're talking about COVID. We're told not to treat patients early on when it's most effective. They tell patients to self-isolate and to, you know, just call me if your fingers and toes turn blue and can't breathe. That would be like turning away a child with asthma and saying, well, I'll come back in 2 weeks and maybe I'll treat you then. Makes no sense to me. So I've, you know, I was a founding faculty of a medical school. I, way back when I was in the public health service, and, you know, I think that once the government got involved, I think the Hippocratic Oath went out the window. I can save the rest of it for my presentation.
All right, very good. Okay, we're going to go to a break, and this is going to be a nice Christmas song, and we'll be right back after this.
His holy name, Christ.
Oh, Holy Night. What a beautiful song. Now, a number of you folks have asked that I that we could send you the CD with that song. The problem of it is we have several albums out, but we don't have that song in any of them. But I think it's going to be on the very next one that we put out. So we'll be working on that if we get enough help. That's getting help's hard to do. Now, Dr. John, I'm going to play this clip. And this is from the World Health Organization. It's a very short clip. And now, if I was to ask you two men, I know what the answer would be. Would you rather have, if you were forced to take poison, would you rather have that poison given to you or given to your grandchildren? And I know what you would say. I would say, well, I'd rather take it myself than my grandchildren. But, you know, I got a better idea. Let's not give the poison to anybody. Go ahead, Andrew, and play the clip. This is the head of the World Health Organization, Mr. Tedros.
It's emerging now of its benefits, especially with elderly groups, senior citizens, especially above 65 and above 60. So if it's going to be used, it's better to focus on those groups who have risk of severe disease and death, rather than, as we see, some countries are using to give boosters to kill children. Which is not right. Then the equity issue comes here. Instead of boosting a child in high-income countries, it's better to vaccinate the elderly in countries who have the elders who have not been vaccinated, even the primary vaccines. So the equity issue should also come into play.
From media team, and also as said, we try really to keep.
All righty. So now, well, my opinion is better not to kill anyone. You know, instead of saying, well, we'll kill the elderly, and instead of killing the children. What, Dr. John, would you like to comment on that?
Well, they talk about the value of life. Most valuable is over 14, and I guess under, I think it's under 40, maybe 45. And the elderly, especially after they retire, they feel that they're just dragging economically on the society. And the children, the children are our future. That's where we have to draw the line in the sand. We can't. Can't let them hurt the children, but you're right. We can't let them hurt anyone. Now, I can tell you about what I know about these so-called immunizations. They do reduce your immunity. Your pH cells go down. They increase the risk of blood clots. I can go through a list of the reported MERS events reported from this. But that was that a Freudian slip when he said?
No, he was speaking there because he knows here in the United States, children are dying from those, and we know that they're going to. Many of them have that myocarditis and,
Absolutely, myocarditis. And there's another way that the children are being hurt. It was just reported in the British bears, the British analysis of side effects, that children between the age of 5 and 14 that are not vaccinated but are living in a household where both parents were vaccinated for up to 18 months after the parents were vaccinated, and these are large population studies, children in those households have an increased death rate or hospitalization rate, and there's no other explanation for it in a large study other than the parents were vaccinated. And initially, for a few weeks, it's known that you can spread the spike protein, and there's a mechanism for that. They form in the vacuoles. Well, that's any viral illness. You can spread it. A little vacuole forms in the lining of your lungs, and then when you cough, the spike protein or the virus comes out in your breath, the small particle. And that's very concerning, too. The children don't even have to be vaccinated.
All right. Well, here I'm going to just tell you some of the things that I've learned. These are things that I'm sure of. And then we're going to play another clip, of a Dr. Zelenko and his warning. Now, here's the things that I'm absolutely pretty sure of, okay, concerning the Fauci flu and the poisonous poke, that those that are affected with the jab are much more likely to get COVID-19. I know that they won't admit to that, but we see that happening. The jab is not a vax, but a bioweapon. We've had a number of virologists testify to that. It has caused heart failures, miscarriages. We had that that Jewish lady, one of my senior moments here. What is the name for female doctors? She was on here. The ones that treat. Pardon?
A gynecologist.
Yeah, gynecologist. That's what I'm thinking of. And so anyhow, she was saying how that some of her patients now are having two and three periods and. They're starting, these girls that have been vaxxed are starting early, very early. And then she said that some of them are literally bleeding to death, and she found a blood clot in one the size of a grapefruit. Okay, so we see that they have miscarriages, multiple periods, blood clots, and I believe the stats that are being put out there, that as many as 600,000 deaths in America are due to the poisonous poke, and this is really all about depopulation. The people can't wrap their mind around it, but it's the great reset. It's on. They're out to depopulate the planet. So go ahead and play. Would you play Dr. Zelenko's warning?
Yeah, hi, this is Dr. Zelenko, and I'm requesting of my followers a call to action. The government now is desperate. The tyrants know that their end is coming. They've dug in, and they're going to go now full totalitarian tyranny, trying to suppress voices like myself. And so, first of all, I'm not suicidal. Second of all, I'm doing much better. My health is fine. So if I die or disappear or has nothing to do with any of that, and you know where... what the source of it? It's a assassination attempt on the truth by the suppression of my voice and voices like me. And so, if you look at the article attached to this video, you'll see that there's going to be an attempt to sanction doctors like myself, take away our licenses, vilify, and so on. My request from fellow physicians and my request from anyone who's listening is to go in the exact opposite direction. Rise up. This is a civil war for freedom, hopefully in a nonviolent way. We need civil disobedience. We need to say no to the demented puppet in the White House and to all this tyrannical lies from people like Fauci and the NIH and the CDC, FDA, all these organizations that are nothing more than prostitutes and whorehouses. And so it's time to rise up now if you want your children to live free. If you want your children to have an opportunity to thrive with God consciousness, it is now time to rise up and sacrifice, because the freedom of our children is dependent on what we do right now. I'm not advocating for violence. I'm advocating for civil disobedience. Rise up, say no to the poison dev shot, and completely reject today's government, which is nothing more than the enemy of the people, enemy of humanity, enemy of God. God bless you.
All right. I can tell you I agree with every single thing he just said. I believe is absolutely true. Dr. John, what do you think?
Well, people were told to comply. First, that went for 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And people thought that if they would comply, things would get back to normal. But then there were illogical requests. For example, wear a mask, wear two masks, don't wear masks. I've taken care of lots of patients with asbestos exposure, and the surgical mask that they want us to wear is not, according to OSHA, does not protect you from asbestos particles, and this virus is much smaller than an asbestos particle. So it's not rational what we're doing. It's basically psyops by changing the goal. You know, it makes no sense that you can't go to church, but yet you can go to a Walmart or Costco or something. They're trying to hurt the middle class. The people are it seems like they're not tough enough. You know, in we had tough times make tough people, strong people. 1776, the greatest generation of World War II. But now, most of us growing up in the 50s and 60s, we had it very easy. And we took our freedoms for granted, and I think we've got to wake up.
All right, now you understand what he means about if you should find him or hear that he's committed suicide, there's bad things are happening to people like yourself and him that are speaking out because you guys have credible voices. And we're going to see. I expect that dirty cop, Merrick Garland, and that's exactly what he is, the dirty cop, the head of the DOJ, would turn on you guys the way he's going after parents who care about their children at the school board meetings. This is communism. This is outright antichrist. This is the antichrist world communist system. Right now, turning on the people in America.
And so, Pastor Ernie?
Yeah.
I'd like to comment and ask Dr. John a question. Dr. Zelenko early on was dealing with COVID with hydroxychloroquine and antibiotics, and then he had an abstract published, and that dispelled a lot of the lies and proved that Fauci was lying about hydroxychloroquine, didn't it, Dr. John? And if you would comment on his abstract, I think people would get some light on the truth of that treatment, and then you can go into ivermectin and its benefit.
Yeah. We were told that hydroxychloroquine is dangerous, and in fact, it was tested at the UK recovery study. This was early in 2020, there's a 35-page protocol for this study, and I'm buried in page 25. They gave the dose for the first day. It was 2,400 milligrams. The toxic dose is 1,800 milligrams. They deliberately sabotaged the drug. They gave six times too much. If you're an 88-year-old grandmother has a rheumatoid arthritis, she takes 200 milligrams twice a day, which is perfectly safe, does not cause the heart to stop. If a pregnant woman goes to Africa for the last 60 years, she takes 200 milligrams twice a day for malaria. So hydroxychloroquine is a great drug. But once they had everyone convinced that it was dangerous, they came to the FDA and said we needed an emergency use application for the vaccine because we have no other treatment. And then they got the pass for drug companies cannot be sued, and that's just not right. I mean, all the suffering caused by the side effects of these this so-called vaccine is terrible. Now, ivermectin was developed for humans. A Japanese scientist won a Nobel Prize in 1995. It's been around for over 25 years. It blocks it works for protozoa, and it also works for viruses. For many other viruses, it works. It was originally developed for the poor folks in India that have onchocerciasis, which is called river blindness.
their eyes fill with worms after they've been bitten by a certain fly in Central Africa, and they were blind, and this would cure it. And it's a wonderful drug. It's very safe. People can take five times as much, and it won't be lethal. And it blocks the COVID infections four or five different ways. Now, and it cost about 10 cents a pill in the third world. In India, there's a northern part of India. It's got about 270 million people living there. And they had an outbreak. Oh, it's called Uttar Pradesh, 270 million people. They had lots of COVID problems, and they passed out ivermectin, and they virtually eliminated the problem. And we're supposed to be an advanced nation, and we've got a much higher death per million. So, as I said, this ivermectin blocks the virus from replicating several ways. I guess a virus needs a large protein from inside the cell, which is much larger than the virus, so it has to cut the protein in half. It's called a protease, and both the new Pfizer drug has a protease blocker, and ivermectin has that. But ivermectin also has three or four, at least, other mechanisms to stop the virus, which the Pfizer drug does not have. So the Pfizer drug, if it's used, I'm sure that resistant viruses will rapidly develop, so it won't be as good. It does cost a lot more. They estimate it will be between $700 and $800 for a five-day treatment, as opposed to 10 cents a pill for the ivermectin. So that's that story.
All right.
One thing that was interesting that the abstract proved was that none of the patients that were treated with the hydroxychloroquine developed any heart problems, and yet now it's admitted that some of the jabs are causing heart problems, right?
That's correct. That's correct. It's a myocarditis, and there's no such thing as a mild case of myocarditis. Once you get that, you're going to be have a cardiac problem forever and ever. Now, I had some debates with the folks that were at the my original employer, the university, and they said, well, you know, you're not your patients aren't taking the vaccine in a high enough percentage, and who would you not give the vaccine to? I said, well, a young person, because the young children have got such good innate immunity that they're not going to get sick, and why risk a terrible heart condition? And the doctor, the head of internal medicine, said, well, I disagree. I would want my son to get it because I wouldn't want him to have myocarditis from the actual COVID. And I explained to him that studies have shown that if you have a flu, sometimes you do get some inflammation around your heart, but it's very mild. But when you get the vaccine, it's been shown that the blood test, there's a blood test called the troponin, which measures damage to the heart, and it goes much higher after it's increased after a vaccination, after the so-called vaccination. The EKG changes dramatically. The echocardiogram shows decreased contraction in the heart wall. And, there's a high percentage of young people who had the myocarditis who actually had to be hospitalized. It takes a lot to hospitalize a teenager. They have to be pretty sick. And all these people will have their lifespan cut short, and they'll have heart failure, and they'll die young. And it's just a terrible thing to subject a young person to that.
Well, let me ask you this, because Franklin Graham had gotten the shot, and he had gotten that. He'd had a heart attack. So how does it affect older people? Because he's closer to our age.
Oh, yeah, well, anyone can get the myocarditis. In fact, I've noticed when they give the jab or the vaccine, they don't aspirate first. And I'm sure that if they're in a vein, and that way they'll inject quite a bit into the vein, it'll rapidly leave the arm, and through the vein it'll go to the heart. And those folks are probably more likely to get the myocarditis, or they can get pericarditis. That's when the sac around the heart gets inflamed. Now, it's just a thin sac around the heart, but if that gets inflamed, it can contract. And I
I think he had to have surgery to have that outer layer of that pericardium, the sac around the heart, that had it stripped off because it was squeezing the heart. So it's dangerous. Yeah, we were told that initially, oh, well, the vaccine just stays in the arm and does its job there. But there was a Japanese scan, like a nuclear medicine tracer was mixed with the vaccine. And shortly after the injection, it spreads throughout the body, especially the brain, the testes, the ovaries, the heart. It's throughout the body. And then, you know, the idea is to give a messenger RNA that will cause the production of the spike protein, and then your body makes antibodies to the spike protein. But the spike protein is what causes the damage. So to me, that's not logical. But no one follows logic. They just blindly follow whatever the authorities or people in the position over them, whoever, you know, controls their paycheck or whatever. They just follow whatever's dictated.
Last night we played clips. It was really a number of clips from very well-known people out there that are speaking on this. And at the very end of this, and the clip was to tell people that what we've been talking about, we got to stand up. Now is the time. We have to push back because we are under attack. This is the Antichrist world system. Anyone who tells me I should get the vax, I consider to be an enemy. Okay, not my friend. Okay. But at the end of that, they played these commercial spots. You know, they played NBC, ABC, CBS, all these different programs. And they would say, this program is brought to you by Pfizer. This program is brought to you by Pfizer. This program is brought... just how over and over, and if you turn on so many of these programs tonight, and then that includes Fox News, Pfizer, 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 Pfizer is what you'll hear. They're the big, or Johnson & Johnson, or Johnson & Johnson, the big advertisers. So basically, it's their money. And, you know, what's happened is in the medical profession, MDs have lost the people. They've lost a lot of trust. A lot of people no longer trust their doctors. They don't trust them at all. And I know a lot of people that are looking for new doctors that are telling me all the time they're going to find a new doctor because my doctor told me I should get the shot. That's all I needed to hear from him or her. And they're out of there, okay? So these doctors that belong to these big co-ops, are they going to have a bitter pill to swallow?
Yeah, they have a goal to have a certain percentage of patients vaccinated. But this is so big, it's hard to wrap our mind around what's going on. So what I'd like to just take a moment and give a little history of the background here. Well, first of all, I want to tell everyone that this COVID, untreated, is 99.97% survivable. It's like a flu. And if you have risk factors like high blood pressure or diabetes or you're way overweight or you know, if you don't take zinc or vitamin D or vitamin C for your immunity, then you still, with early effective treatment with ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, you still have a very good chance of surviving. So the Lord hasn't given us a spirit of fear. So I want people not to fear this. But I want to go back to 1910, this Flexner report. J.D. Rockefeller had the Standard Oil Company, and they were starting to use, petroleum products to make everything, all kinds of pharmaceuticals, and they shut down a lot of the medical schools, specifically the osteopathic, naturopathic, Ayurvedic, homeopathic schools, and they just wanted the doctors. Now, they're very good allopathic doctors, and there's all sorts of different fields, and there's good doctors and bad doctors in every field, but they wanted the doctors that would use most of the pharmaceutical. Now, the basic research for pharmaceuticals is controlled by scientific publishing. And in 1946, there was a man who served in the Czech. He was from Czechoslovakia, and he served in the British Army. And he was part of the occupation troops in Berlin. And for pennies on a dollar, he bought the Springer-Verlag
publishing company, and his name was Jan Hoch, H-O-C-H. And he turned those few dollars into multiple millions. He was a billionaire when he died under kind of suspicious circumstances off the Canary Islands. And he changed his name to a proper British name. He changed his name from Jan Hoch to Robert Maxwell. And Robert Maxwell, he used to take the scientists out to dinners and give them Rolex watches and bribe them like that. But, you know, could you take that one step further to control people in leadership positions? I don't know. But Robert Maxwell has a daughter named Ghislaine. So what does that tell you?
Yeah. Yeah, it tells me a lot right there.
Yeah. And then in 1982, the Merck company made hepatitis B vaccine for drug addicts because it's a STD, sexually transmitted, and transmitted by drug addicts when they share needles. And then they complained to the government. They said, we spent millions to develop this vaccine, and we're not getting paid. But what do you expect? They're drug addicts. They're going to spend their money on drugs. They're not going to pay you. So then the government, instead of saying, well, you know, just have to toughen up and make your money in the nut with another drug, they said, well, why don't we just make it required for everybody? So right now, if you have a baby boy or baby girl in a hospital, they're given a hepatitis B vaccine at birth, and the immature immune system cannot handle that. In the 50s, growing up, I got 3 vaccines, and now they get 70 by the time they're in the middle age. You know, it's just not right. And there's an increase of lots of problems now. They're not any healthier now. In fact, America, in the 50s and 60s, we were the most we were the healthiest advanced nations, and now we're at the bottom of the barrel for health for developed nations.
Now, from what I understand, that more than any other profession of women that have their babies born at home, that have home births, is nurses. Nurses who work, they, more than any other profession, have their babies born at home. And is that is the reason, maybe, huh?
It might be.
All right, well, go ahead. We're coming up to a break. And then when we come back from the break, are you finished, or do you have more to go on?
No, I'm finished. Yeah.
Okay. So when we come back from this break, I'm gonna play another clip, and you'll probably be familiar with this fellow here. It'll probably run about 7 or 8 minutes, and then I really want to have you do some commentary on that, because people, we're trying to warn the people. I know it's hard because they get commercials all day long. Get the shot. We're not going to do it. We're going to resist. Be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come right now.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.